Kol HaLashon, the entire Torah, everywhere.
This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
The famous Rabbi Yisachar Frand says over that Rav Ruderman, the Rosh Yeshiva, the tremendous Goyin, the Slabodka Talmud, had a Tanya almost always on his table. He would travel with the Tanya. Rav Ruderman came from a Chabad family, but he was sharply misnagdic in his way of living his life. And nevertheless, he studied the fascinating work of the Tanya. The tremendous genius, Rabbi Nochum Greenwald, who authored the by now probably 50 volumes of Heichal HaBaal Shem Tov and a 1,000-page biography called Harav on the Baal HaTanya's 200th Yahrzeit, very, very fascinating Sefer. He wrote an article proving beyond the shadow of a doubt, and today everything is searchable on Eitz HaChochma, that hundreds of quotes that the Nefesh HaChaim states are direct copy and paste from Hasidic literature that don't exist anywhere prior in all Torah literature, and even possibly Kabbalistic sources, but they were dormant. They weren't emphasized. They didn't have a vocabulary how to synthesize them and communicate them to the multitudes. And when Hasidus brought these ideas to Klal Yisrael, they couldn't be ignored. But rather, in an unbelievable, brilliant tact, the Nefesh HaChaim took the same ideas of the Tanya, but he removed them from being the focus and the main emphasis of the Avodas Hashem. And emphasis is everything. So in the world of the Tanya, the emphasis of everything is to see Ein Oid Milvadoi. To realize that when you're staring at physicality, in as much as we understand that when you plant a tree, and after 100 years, there's a 150, 200, to 300 foot tall, huge, gigantic oak tree, and you weigh the soil that was there prior to planting the tree, and the soil that exists currently, and this gigantic tree is standing and rooted into the ground, and the soil is the same soil. So where did this entire gigantic tree come from? And we know scientifically that it's the energy of the sun through the process of photosynthesis. The energy turns into a gigantic physical matter of trees, of fruit, and so on. And that now that we understand that energy could turn into matter, and who energizes the sun, and who's inside the atomic energy, the electromagnetic energy, is Hashem himself. And it's Ein Oy Milvadoi. And all physicality are only klipos and sitra achra, a wrapping, a malbush around Hashem's energy, so to speak. For lack of better terms,
Kol
the entire avodah of Klal Yisrael is to elevate the sparks of the klipa, of the energy that's physical. Elevating is not elevating it into space, into physical space, higher up. Elevating in Kabbalistic terms means purifying them back to their non-hastara state, that they shouldn't be a klipa and hastara. They shouldn't block the light of Hashem. They should again feel themselves plugged into their source and experience their source again. The Shir HaShirim, Kedosh Kedoshim, the band with Hashem. And that's Toir Eretz Mikvaydecha, the entire world will have been purified so as to be transparent and not block the light of Hashem. And the irony is that Torah and mitzvahs that remove the hastorah and the blockage, yet We have to act as if there is a blockage. Because if there's no blockage and everything is Hashem, then what's Torah Mitzvahs? Hashem rewards us as if we're doing things. Although, it's Hashem doing it. Hashem allows us, He pre-programmed a remote control. If you do this mitzvah this way, it'll accomplish a certain kedusha, a certain purity. You learn these psukim in the Torah, it'll accomplish another purity, another accomplishment. But it's Hashem doing it. But in spiritual metaphysics, just like if you could explode an atom, it'll cause an atomic explosion. In metaphysics, it's even more than that. You wear tefillin, written properly, kisidron, it'll cause way beyond atomic accomplishments. Supernatural, eternal accomplishments. Hashem allows the Avodas Yisrael to remove the blockages, and that's the game plan. To remove the Hastara, to elevate the Klippas, to elevate the Netzitzis, and Veruach HaTuma Avim in the Oretz, till the Klippas will cease to exist, and it's gonna be Mola Oretz Deus Hashem. But nevertheless, once we're mandated to live within the Halachic framework, says the Nefesh HaChaim, if you keep on thinking Einoit Melvadoi, then there's no Mekaimis, like a Beis HaKisei where you can't learn. It's all holiness. So the Nefesh HaChaim developed this unbelievable mitzideinu and mitzidoi. Mitzidoi, from Hashem's vantage point, it's of course Einoi Milvadoi. But mitzideinu, although we know the idea, the flash of the idea that Einoi Milvadoi, but nevertheless mitzideinu, we have to live in the paradox, en route to paradise, and we have to continuously have this tug of war, this struggle of the juggle, that ain't the Milvadoi from the Eibishter's vantage point, from Hashem's vantage point, but from our vantage point, this is a Beis HaKisei where we're not allowed to study Torah because it's not holy. And there's holier places and less holier places. Places more connected to Hashem, less connected to Hashem. And therefore he calls it Rotzei V'Shoiv, back and forth, struggling and juggling between these two concepts that we're living in the physical existence, and yet we know that the physical existence is permeated with Hashem, but that can't always be the entire focus. Besides, when a person is in danger of the great school of the Nefesh HaChaim, then he says, if you could focus and steer at the guy with the pistol pointed at you and think there's no pistol and there's no guy and there's nothing, it's only Einoi Milvadoi, that skula, by the mere fact that you're thinking that thought, it takes away the power of that existence, because if you could penetrate and see that it's nothing, the power of your machshava alone could make that he loses his power, because he's only powerful as ki'ilu, a separate entity. But once you realize he's nothing, he's only Hashem, that realization is a skula to remove the person's power against you. Although, of course, if he pulls the trigger, you realize it's hoy ashu shevet atbi, it's Hashem allowing him to do it. But nevertheless, then you could really emphasize the Tanya's Einoi Milvadoi. But during the 24/7, you can't always focus on that. There's Shabbos and there's weekdays. The weekdays aren't as holy as Shabbos and so on. But in the Tanya, the emphasis is always to see the entire physicality and stare at it till you realize physicality is a Einoi Milvadoi. It's only a wrapping, a malbush, and the Melo Shivisi Hashem Lenegli Summit. Feeling Hashem's presence becomes second nature, that you don't see the physicality. You're not focused. You see the piece of wood, and you know the wood is energy of Hashem, that it brought it into existence from himself, and therefore it is himself, and therefore Hashem is everywhere. So it's not the pshat that the walls don't give you privacy, and they don't block Hashem's vision. You and your heart and the organs that are sinning are all mloichal einay milvadoi, and the walls of the house are einay milvadoi, but it could, these concepts are so dangerous that it could blur the lines between between Hashem and who's Hashem and who's me. And if it's mistaken, chas v'shalom, it could lead to pantheism, which was the idea that as if there's no God, it's the universe and God are synonyms. They're the same. Not that Hashem is in existence beyond the universe and he brought the universe into existence. They held in completeness of the universe is all God, and therefore that became one great gigantic idol called the universe, which is also an idol. It's a gigantic trillions of miles size idol, which is not God. It's physicality. And it's avodah zarah. So we're saying, einam levadoi, but of course not pantheism, not that that's defining God, and that is, no, he's beyond that. He brought the entire universe into existence, but of course he's beyond that, and that's the tremendous difference between pantheism and Judaism. But these were revolutionary ideas, at least in emphasis, to look at a world and to keep on training yourself that there's energy and there's spiritual energy and Hashem's energy and it's all Him. And therefore you're bonding with Hashem everywhere in the marketplace, when you're doing business, it's all Hashem giving the ideas to the guy to sell you the merchandise, to the other guy to come along and purchase from you so that you have a profit. Everything is meloi chol aretz kvodai. And it turned a simple Jew into a state of dveikus 24/7, which in Shulchan Aruch Ravi says dveikus could sometimes be above Torah. It created the concept that if you live with this Hasidic understanding, then it's einam levadoi always, and you're always in Hashem's embrace, and you're always in a state of complete attachment and complete dveikus, regardless of what you're doing and where you're doing. And then if that's the case, then there's no simple Jew, because if a simple Jew could elevate his perception, he transcends in a second to the transparency of Hashem everywhere. And that's one of the most unbelievable ideas that the Tanya and Hasidus brought into the world, that the Nefesh HaChaim simply couldn't ignore, but he tempered the emphasis, which you could argue is a tremendous milchama, because in the Nefesh HaChaim will never say that Dveikus is above Torah, rather that Torah is the greatest Dveikus. And we know that there's a stira, a famous stira, Chassam Soifin, Teres Moshe Ve'eschanan, Royad Vorem O'Ele, he says Dveikus is above Torah, and Torah is only a means how to get to Dveikus. And then Bechukaisai, he argues, and in the five Chalakim, not in Teres Moshe, Bechukaisai, he argues on the Chavis Alvavis, who says, why do you have to study Torah? Just study how to serve Hashem, Lushmo. And he says, no, Torah is the greatest Dveikus. The Bachasim Memzayin, Derech Hashem, Niramchal, also Torah is the greatest Dveikus. And that is also a very important machlokes between Hasidus and Talmidei Agro.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Kol HaLashon, a whole world of quality content.